Have you ever noticed how two people can experience the same rainstorm completely differently? One person curses the weather for ruining their plans, while another delights in the nourishment it brings to gardens. The difference lies not in the rain itself, but in the mind that perceives it. This fundamental insight opens the Dhammapada, one of Buddhism's most beloved texts. Mind precedes all states. Mind is their chief. They are all mind-made. This 2,500-year-old collection of verses attributed to the Buddha offers a revolutionary proposition that our suffering stems not primarily from external circumstances, but from our mental relationship to them. When we harbor thoughts of resentment, we perpetuate cycles of pain. Hatred is never appeased by hatred in this world. By non-hatred alone is hatred appeased. This is an eternal law. The text employs vivid imagery to illustrate this principle. An untrained mind is like a tree easily uprooted by wind, while the disciplined practitioner stands firm like a mountain. This isn't mere philosophy, but practical psychology. When someone insults us, we have a choice: respond with anger that perpetuates suffering, or with equanimity that breaks the cycle. What distinguishes this approach is its active nature. We aren't passive recipients of mental states, but they're cultivators. As irrigators guide water to their fields, as archers aim arrows, as carpenters carve wood, the wise shape their minds. This practice of mental development forms the foundation for everything that follows. Awareness is the path to the deathless. Unawareness, the path to death. The aware do not die. The unaware are as if dead already. Long before mindfulness became trendy, the Buddha recognized it as spiritual development's cornerstone. Not casual attention, but profound vigilance toward our thoughts, speech, and actions. The Dhammapada compares this vigilance to guarding one's greatest treasure. Through continuous awareness, we see patterns otherwise hidden. How irritation becomes anger, how craving transforms into consuming desire. This awareness creates momentum. The aware moves swiftly past the unaware as a swift horse leaves a weak horse behind. Attention to breath reveals reality's impermanence and our attachment-based disappointments. Ultimately, awareness leads to freedom. The monk who delights in awareness moves like fire, burning up fetters small and great. These fetters include attachment to pleasure, ill will, pride, and ignorance. Through persistent mindfulness, these bonds gradually fall away, making each moment an opportunity to wake up. Have you ever sat down to meditate only to discover your mind jumping like a monkey from branch to branch? The Dhammapada describes this mind as trembling, fickle, hard to guard, hard to control, noting that the wise make it straight as a fletcher straightens an arrow. The text portrays the mind as a fish thrashing on land, particularly apt in our age of endless distractions. This wild mind can be tamed through persistent effort, not through forceful suppression, but skillful direction. As irrigators guide water to their fields, the wise shape their minds by gently returning attention to the present moment. An untamed mind creates suffering by projecting fears into the future and regrets into the past. A wrongly directed mind will do worse to you than an enemy, while a rightly directed mind will do better than even your parents. With training, one remains calm amid provocation, content amid scarcity, and equanimous amid change. Look around you. Everything you see, your possessions, your body, even your cherished relationships, will eventually disappear. All conditioned things are impermanent, the Dhammapada states. When one sees this with wisdom, one turns away from suffering. This isn't pessimism, but clear-eyed realism that cuts through our denial of life's transient nature. The text portrays the body as a painted shape with a mass of sores, subject to sickness, and compares life to a bubble or mirage. Recognizing impermanence isn't meant to depress us, but to awaken us from delusion. Beyond impermanence lies the deathless, Nibbana, a state beyond conditioning and suffering. Not an afterlife, but a shift in consciousness available now, free from craving, hatred, and delusion. The Buddha's path involves ethical conduct, mental training, and wisdom. Few among humans cross to the other shore. Most merely run along the bank. This journey leads to no happiness higher than peace. All beings fear harm and death. Seeing yourself in others, do not kill or cause others to kill. Before advanced meditation comes the principle of non-harm, ahimsa, a commitment to avoid causing suffering. This ethical foundation isn't divine commandment, but natural recognition of our shared humanity. The Dhammapada teaches, conquer anger with freedom from anger, evil with good, miserliness with giving, lies with truth. It links ethical behavior directly to psychological well-being. Those acting harmfully may temporarily prosper, but experience mental agitation, while ethical living brings immediate inner peace. The text distinguishes between external religious observances and genuine transformation. Neither going naked, nor matted hair, nor filth, nor fasting purifies a mortal who has not overcome doubt. True spirituality requires inner purification through ethical conduct, mental discipline, and wisdom. Without this ethical foundation, meditation becomes merely relaxation rather than a path to liberation. Consider the five people you spend the most time with. Their values gradually become yours through social influence. The Dhammapada advises, if you find a wise companion, a fellow traveler, right-living and intelligent, overcoming all dangers, walk with them, joyful and mindful. This teaching recommends associating with good friends, not evil or foolish people, not from elitism, but practical wisdom. Like plants absorbing qualities from soil, we absorb traits from those around us. Sometimes tough choices are necessary. Better to travel alone than with a fool. The fool here isn't intellectually limited, but morally misguided, someone whose influence diverts us from wisdom. The ideal is finding good friends, kalyanamita, who support our highest aspirations and challenge us when we stray. While each person walks their own path, success increases when we surround ourselves with those sharing our goals. Have you ever said something in anger that you later regretted? The Dhammapada portrays anger as destructive. Those who hold on to anger are like those who grab a hot coal to throw at another. They are the ones who get burned. This image shows how anger primarily harms the person feeling it. The text challenges our belief that others deserve our wrath. Hatred is never appeased by hatred in this world. By non-hatred alone is hatred appeased. This isn't accepting wrongdoing, but recognizing that responding with harm perpetuates suffering. Cultivate patience, the ability to remain calm amid provocation. Those who control their anger like a swerving chariot, I call charioteers. Others merely hold the reins. True strength lies in maintaining equanimity under pressure, not explosive reaction. Anger often stems from thwarted desire or threatened self-concept. Meet it with mindful awareness, recognizing its arising without identifying with it. Through this practice, we discover a peace that remains stable regardless of circumstances, the greatest victory of mastering our minds.